Hi, you're listening to the Well Podcast, living water for a thirsty world. Join us every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and 10:30.
Let us read together. Christ has liberated us into freedom. Therefore, stand firm and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So during this Jesus Who series, we were retelling the story of Jesus. Last week was an introduction of who Jesus is. This week, Jesus begins his ministry. And we're talking about Jesus' baptism, temptation, and Jesus' first sermon at his home church in Nazareth. And the song, I'm Free, is essentially a retelling of what Jesus says in his home congregation. He unrolls the scroll of Isaiah, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to release to the captives, let the oppressed go free. This is the year of the Lord's favor. And then his home congregation wanted to kick him out of church, but we'll get to that in just a minute. The season of Lent is a time of preparation. It's a time to prepare our souls for what Jesus is going to do. As Jesus is going to Jerusalem, we are to prepare our hearts and our souls for God through Christ changing everything. So the season of Lent, and you see this on your sermon sheet, the season of Lent is a time to prepare for three things. And it all has to do with radical acceptance and freedom. Number one, the Lenten season is a time to prepare for the radical acceptance of the freedom to be who God is calling you to be. Jesus began his ministry with baptism. And we had baptism of the Lord Sunday. But when he came out of the waters, and this is what it says, Luke chapter 3. When everyone was being baptized, Jesus also was baptized. While he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit came down on him in bodily form like a dove. And there was a voice from heaven saying, you are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased. Jesus' ministry began from a place of acceptance. It's interesting that when Jesus comes out of the water, there's this voice that says, I am pleased with you. You are my child. And yet we don't have much information about Jesus before the baptism. We have information about Jesus' birth. We have information about Jesus when he was 12 years old. There's a story of him going to the temple in the Gospel of Luke. But between the ages of 13 and 30, there's nothing written. God is proclaiming, you are my son with whom I am well pleased. It's not necessarily about the merit, or at least we don't know what Jesus has done up to this point. But Jesus begins his ministry from a place of acceptance. And that's true for us as well, our journey with Christ. It starts from a place of acceptance. God accepts you where you are, who you are. God is not looking toward the, God redeems the past. God is not as interested in where you're coming from as to where you're going. Jesus' ministry began from a place of acceptance so that we might too hear that voice, you are my child, and with you I'm well pleased. But before we get a big head about everything, Jesus was very quickly led into the wilderness to temptation. Jesus was there this is Luke chapter 4. This is what it says. Jesus returned from the Jordan River full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So the first thing, the Lenten season is a time to prepare for the radical acceptance of the freedom to be who God is calling you to be. But also it's a time to prepare for the radical acceptance of the freedom from what the world is calling you to be, or from what the world is telling you you should be or are supposed to be. So there Jesus, he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and afterward Jesus was starving. The devil said to him, since you are God's son, command this stone to be a loaf of bread. Now, what's so wrong with turning stones into bread? Think if we could turn stones into bread. Think of the power. If we could turn stones into bread, we could solve world hunger. Except, we can solve world hunger now. We just choose not to. The problem with sin, and I've said this before, the problem with sin, and don't leave before you get the footnote, the problem with sin is that it's half right. Sin is a perversion of God's first commandment, which was, be fruitful and multiply. Sin, the reason sin is half right is it's great at multiplying, but it's never fruitful. It's so close. Sin is half right in the sense that it's great at multiplying, but it is never fruitful. That's why sin is so tempting, because it's half right. Turn these stones into bread. It sounds like a fantastic idea. Except what happens if you turn all stones into bread? But then you have nowhere to stand. You have nowhere to stand. Jesus says, it is written, people don't live by bread alone. So then the devil led him to a high place and showed him in a single instant all of the kingdoms of the world. The devil said, I will give you this whole domain and the glory of all these kingdoms. It's been entrusted to me and I can give it to anyone I want. Therefore, if you worship me, it will all be yours. So the devil shows Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world and says, I give these to you if you worship me. We're talking about heaven and earth, or the kingdoms, rather. It's not that God has a crown and sits on a throne in some cloud somewhere, but God is establishing a kingdom. Now, I remember it was Valentine's Day about 2 years ago. I was driving Isabel in the back of the car. It was Valentine's Day. We were picking up Chinese food. Because when you have three kids and it's Valentine's Day, that's like what you do. You just pick up Chinese food for the family. And so we're driving, and Isabel says, Daddy, are Mimi and Pawpaw going to die? I'm thinking, I just want to pick up some egg rolls. I don't want to... You know, I'm a pastor. I should have these answers like on the fly, bah, 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 but I'm also a dad, which means I'm still learning things. You know, so I park in the parking lot of Imperial Cafe in Shreveport. I said, well, Isabel, if something has a beginning, then something will have an end. And yeah, we will all die one day. What a fat lot of good that did. She started crying and was just, that didn't help at all. So I said, well, but the good news is, and this, I said, the good news is, when we die, we go to live with Jesus in heaven. Well, that caused even more problems. She just said, but I want Mimi and Papa to live here. You know, and I'm thinking, oh, great. I just want to get my egg rolls. So I said, Isabel, what do we pray every night before going to bed? The Lord's Prayer. I said, yeah, what does it say? It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, Isabel, God's desire is for heaven and earth to be one. Behold, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and God was his, this is Revelation 21, God will be his people. There will be no more crying, no more tears, no more death. So God's desire is for heaven to be right here. Okay? Okay. And then she said, Daddy, are Mimi and Papa going to die before April? Because she was going to Disney World in April with Mimi and Papa. She was not interested in a deep theological discussion about the afterlife. She wanted to make sure if she was getting to Orlando on time. You know, parent, I learn. You know, I don't know everything, but I learn. You know. So the devil showed him kingdoms of the earth and said, I can give you all of this on earth. And Jesus says, it's written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Jesus did not come to establish an earthly kingdom. Jesus came to establish an eternal kingdom that we work tirelessly and daily to shine here daily in our life. You don't have to wait until you're dead to experience heaven, is what I'm saying. It's right here. Jesus spoke much more about the kingdom being at hand than Jesus did ever speak about the afterlife. The kingdom of God is at hand. The point is that it can start now. It can start now. Then the devil brought him into Jerusalem and stood him at the highest point of the temple. And he said to him, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" You know, so we started singing eagle's wings to him. "And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, spare you on the breath of..." It's interesting that, I think it's so interesting, that the devil is quoting scripture to Jesus. The devil knows scripture. And it's a lesson to us in the church that when we find something to get angry about or we find something that's divisive, it's not exactly helpful to say, "Well, my Bible says..." Because guess what the person on the other side of the fence is saying right back to you? "Well, my Bible says..." And it's this endless game of... So what does Jesus say? "It's been said, don't test the Lord your God." You see, the devil is not tempting Jesus to jump off the temple and fly. The temple is the place where God dwells. According to Judaism, the temple is where God lives. So what is the devil asking Jesus to do? Asking Jesus to jump away from where God is. That's what he's asking him to do. Jump away from the presence of God. To allow space in between him and God. To allow shadow. I've talked about this. The devil is as real as a shadow. It must anger the devil a whole lot to know that he can't exist on its own. The devil always needs our help. He's asking Jesus to jump away from where God resides, to let that shadow in, to let that space there. It has been said, do not test the Lord your God. So Lent is about the radical acceptance of the freedom to be who God is calling you to be, but it's also about the radical acceptance of the freedom from what the world is telling you you should be. To have an earthly kingdom. To erode the foundation from which you stand. To jump away from the presence of God. After Jesus was tempted, it said that he went back to his hometown of Nazareth, and they invited him to read scripture. Except there's a catch. Jesus was different when he came back from the wilderness. Or at least he wasn't the way that his hometown crowd remembered him to be. Now, I've experienced this, and maybe you have too. In high school, I sang in the choir at the church. I grew up at First Methodist in Slidell, and I sang in the choir. And then I went off to college as a vocal performance major. So my home church invited me back to sing O Holy Night at the Christmas Eve service. But it was terrible. Because when you go off to school, one of the first things they do at college is they kind of break down your assumptions and they re-educate you. Especially if you're in music, you go and they try to fix all of the bad habits that you've been doing for the last 18 years. So when you first come back, you don't sound all that great because you've spent an entire semester relearning how to sing. So they invited me back to sing O Holy Night. It was awful. And I can look on the face of the congregation that they truly regretted asking me to come back and do this. You know, hometown kid is back, sing O Holy Night. It was terrible. There's probably a recording out there on YouTube somewhere of it. It was awful. Jesus comes back to his hometown and says, "Jesus, you're back. We want you to read, will you be our liturgist today? Will you read scripture for us today, Jesus?" And Jesus got up and he unrolled the scroll of Isaiah, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant. And the crowd is just cheering. They're like, "Yeah, Jesus, he went off to the wilderness. He's like ready to go. He might even be a prophet. You know, yay you. And he's from our town." But then Jesus continued and he started to tell them a story. He said, "Undoubtedly, you will quote this to me, 'Doctor, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what you did in Capernaum.' Then he said, 'I assure you that no prophet is welcome in a prophet's hometown. And I can assure you that there were many widows in Israel during Elijah's time when it didn't rain for 3.5 years and there was a great food shortage in the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to a widow in the city of Zarephath in the region of Sidon. Well, now Jesus done did it. He mentioned Sidon. He mentioned how Elijah was sent to Sidon. Sidon, S-I-D-O-N, is a Gentile town. It's not a town in Israel. It's where, you know, those people live. Now, I know that Ponchatoula is a holy place. So just imagine, like, going to Hammond and, like, being over there. I'm kidding. Huh? 9 o'clock laughed at that. So he talked about Sidon, Elijah going to Sidon, which is a Gentile town where those people live. And how did his hometown crowd react to this news? They wanted to throw him off a cliff. Jesus came and said, "Those who are well don't need a doctor. I am called to those who are not well." And undoubtedly, you're going to say, "Perform miracles here." But I tell you, I'm called to the other side of the railroad tracks. You know, the people that you've despised and hated for a long time, the people you don't think are worthy to be in this sanctuary, you know, the people out there. I said Hammond. I meant Amit. There we go. So the third thing about Lent is, it's a time to prepare for the radical acceptance to be in ministry with the other. Lent is a time for us to prepare our souls for the radical acceptance of the freedom to be who God is calling us to be. It's also a time to prepare our souls for the radical acceptance of the freedom from what the world is calling us or what the world is telling us we should be. And it's also the radical acceptance to be in ministry with people who don't look like us or think like us, don't live in our town. You don't need the well's permission to be in ministry outside of these four walls. Lent is a time to prepare our heart and our soul for God radically changing everything. If the resurrection mattered, then we will be ready for the world to be radically changed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.